all of you in your place. And thank you, Landon, for passing those out for me. And we're going to be over in Hebrews chapter 5. I was reading in the Hebrews part of the scriptures and came across this and was reminded once again that our Lord expects us to grow in our faith. And when I got into the text, I realized that we had had a similar lesson 5 or 6 years ago. And so you may have this outline if you keep these little handouts, but if you do, that's okay. But this is something that is so easy to not do. We're so capable of just being saved and glad of it and coming to a good church and settling in, and yet never really growing in our faith that much and becoming so routine. And so I just want to revisit this topic of how important it is to grow in our faith. Now, I'm not going to, you hang on to this handout because I don't think we're going to be able to get through the whole thing. It's pretty extensive, 7 pages. But, and I'm going to take my time because there's a lot of verses in it. And I'll be reading some verses that are not in your handout. So if you want to keep a pencil ready, there's some additional verses. As I was going through the handout, I saw that there was so many more verses that explain the point maybe a little better or in addition to, so I'll be saying those as well. However, it's probably going to take 2 weeks, and so we're not going to be here. Valerie and I will not be here for 2 weeks. We're going to be gone the 19th and the 26th. As you know, we go down a couple times a year to McCamey, and Brother Chris has so graciously allowed me to fill in for the pastor during these times, and he's going on a two-week, the pastor in McCamey is going on a two-week vacation. And so he's asked if we could fill in, and we're going to do that and have enjoyed it. So Brother Albert's going to fill in, and I thank the Lord so much for his love of teaching and sharing the Bible with you. So I appreciate him for doing that. He is in his and Judy's ministry here, and their time here, their friendship here at Bible Baptist Church is such a blessing to us. Amen? So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to take our time. And in Hebrews chapter 5, the first 10 verses basically talk about our Lord. And we're not going to read those verses per se, but the verses tell us that in the Old Testament, high priests were selected by God to serve the Lord in relation to the man's service to God. They worked with the sacrifices that men brought in for their sin. They worked on, God had set up an elaborate system of worship to him both in the tabernacle and in the temple. And these priests had such a calling from God. They worked as a mediator between God and man. And verse 4 tells us that God chose these men. These men could not have chose themselves. And then he starts relating and comparing them, those high priests, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And although Jesus was the Son of God, yet he learned obedience to his Father by going to the cross and becoming our sacrifice and becoming our intermediary for sin. He placed himself between us and God and did those things. And we come down to verse number 10 and 11, and the writer of the book of Hebrews says there's, and I'm paraphrasing here because I want you to get the full brunt of what's going on. He says, I have so much that I really want to tell you here about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I cannot. And so read with me, start in verse number 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say. Now the whom there is Jesus Christ. And hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Verse 1 of chapter 6 continues, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now let me deal with that last phrase real quick. If God permit. Now what he's trying to tell us there is it's just a simple principle of our faith. God's in charge of everything, amen? And if God permits me to have the energy to get in my truck after church and go back to Lubbock, then I will do it. He's just making the statement that his full intention is to teach beyond the simplistic, the wonderful but simplistic doctrines of salvation and repentance and of faith toward God, these principles that he's calling them, the beginning basics of the Christian faith. He wants to go into the deeper things of God, and he will do that if God so allows him the breath and the energy and the occasion and the circumstances to do that. Because that's important. It's important for us to grow. Amen? We had the privilege of having our little granddaughter, Lennox, with us for, 6 or 7 hours yesterday. And so we were eating some beef jerky, and I put my hand in the bag and pulled out a piece about 2.5 inches long, and it looked kind of tough. You know, I thought, Lennox is 3, and she's doing great, but should I give this to her? Well, I gave it to her anyway, because I wanted to see. I was ready to intervene if needed. But I gave it to her, and she put the whole thing in her mouth. Now, she was doing something. She had Valerie's laptop or a tablet or something, and she was busy. So all this was just instinct. She put it in her mouth and then immediately realized she couldn't do anything with it, so she took it out and then started biting just the little tip. Well, that tells me that she's mature enough to take hard things to eat and do a little bit at a time. She's maturing. I never could have done that at 1 year old or maybe even 2 years old. But because she's maturing as a little girl and she's learning how to live, we can do stuff like that because it's important for us to mature as Christians as well. So what he's telling us here, all the way from verse 11 in chapter 5 and up to verse 3 of chapter 6, is beware of spiritual laziness and immaturity. That's the first thing on your handout. We as Christians, we can get so comfortable in our faith, can't we? It's so easy to come to a church that we love and sit under a pastor that we love and be in our place. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it should be held under to the commitment that we should be growing in our faith. We should be taking in the Word of God as a sponge. And here he says, I have things to tell you about this great high priest that is so much better. As a high priest, he's so much better than all the other high priests of the Old Testament. But I can't tell you because you're too much of a baby to understand. And so one of the first things we see, and I have it as a letter A in your handout, dull hearing is caused by not growing spiritually. So if I take that issue to heart, here's what I think I need to say for myself. If I ever get to a point in my church life that I come into this place and I have the audacity to think, well, this is a waste of my time. I go into church and I don't learn anything and I don't, nothing is there for me. Well, I hope I will have a sense enough to do this, Linda, but I think I will, but if I don't, you help me here, okay? If I ever get to that point, the first place that I need to look is me. Because we can grow so accustomed to God's Word that it becomes so familiar that we just stop listening. And the words which we hear from Brother Chris and Brother David and the words we sing can just go in one ear and out the other and never take a moment to reflect. And the problem with that is we don't reflect and understand and meditate on how good God is, on how much He's given us to learn as a child of God, how much He wants us to grow in our faith. He wants to be able to give us 2.5-inch sticks of tough beef jerky in life and see us assimilate it well with a judgment and a discernment that we have, that we should have in our life as a child of God. So we see that dull hearing is caused by not growing spiritually, and he says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Spiritual teaching, spiritual preaching, can only be understood properly by spiritual people, spiritual Christians, Christians who are not living in the flesh, Christians who are being guided by God's Spirit, Christians who are in the Word of God, and they're in a constant, continual state of prayer, like our pastor told us a couple of weeks ago in a service about praying continually, praying always, being in that attitude of prayer. That makes us spiritual people. Not in a bad way, you know, not haughty and not proud and goody-two-shoes, but that makes us spiritual people. Because if we're not in that state, we cannot understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then the verse that you, right after that, which you've heard a million times, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So a lost person is incapable of understanding this. And you know what else? A Christian who's not being guided by God's Spirit, who's not in a rightful attitude of prayer, cannot understand it as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, when Paul uses the word brethren, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to his brothers in Christ. And he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto, up to this point, you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. So here we have a situation where we're not growing in our faith, where we're dull in our hearing because we're not doing what it takes. What does it take? Well, we're going to see that throughout this handout, throughout the rest of this lesson and the next lesson. But we are to understand it to the point where we could actually share it with others. Verse number 12 says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, listen, we're all teachers. You know that. Some of us are privileged. I consider this a great privilege to be able to teach. I really do. This is an opportunity, and I've enjoyed it. I feed off of this. I love it. If I couldn't do this, I don't know. I guess I'd go crazy. But we're all teachers. And let me tell you something about you in your world. And I'm just going to use Linda because she just happens to be right here on the first row. So when Linda gets tired of me using her as an example, she can go to the back row. Linda's got a sphere of influence with people that I will never have. She knows people. She's lived a life here in Slayton and has many contacts. She has a demeanor, a temperament with people that I don't have. In other words, she's very different from me. And so because of that, she will have certain viable ways of ministering to people that I don't have. Now, we know we can understand that when it comes to neighbors and family. I mean, she knows so many people in her life that I don't know. But I truly believe this, and I can't I can't go to chapter and verse to prove it, but I truly believe this. God gives each of us an individual area of ministry. He gives us an ability. He gives us a sense of ministering and fellowshipping and witnessing to others, and it's only from Him. It's only from Him. So although we're not behind a lectern or a podium or a pulpit, whatever you want to call this thing, although we're not behind that, speaking into a microphone, we've got a sphere of influence in our life where we're capable of teaching those around us. And we need to pray that God would give us the wisdom and the discretion to do that in a very wise way. Lennox is now 3 years old. And my big prayer to God is that when she is over at our house, that she will take in what her grandma Lolly says and her grandpa Dwayne says, and see their life. If we're privileged and blessed to grow, you know, if she's going to be around in our world, which she is right now, but if that continues, we pray that our lives will teach her the things of God, not only by our lives and our testimony and our example, but as the situation comes up, as we're going to see in just a minute, we all have a responsibility to communicate the gospel and to communicate the things of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, all through the book of John, we found a way to bring this verse up, and once again, it has crept up into our lesson again, because it's such a wonderful verse about God's house. You know what it is, anybody? It's come up once a week. Thank you, Stacy. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That means teaching. And so we come together, we come to this place, and Hebrews 10:25 says, well, we should be in the Lord's house, but a big part of being in the Lord's house is you've got a ministry there. You got a place of service in God's house. And one of the most wonderful things that a child of God can do in the house of God is to be of service and exhort and teach others. You say, I'm not a teacher. I'm not going to be a Sunday school. No, that's not what he's saying. You look in your world, looking on your pew, look across the auditorium. There's people that you can minister to that I could never touch. You've got a distinct you. God made you special. The blueprint's so much different than for me. You can reach them. And so we need to be open that God do that. I'm looking at Beverly now because she's got a special ministry of acknowledging people when they're sick and when their birthday is coming. And I've appreciated that so very much. Anita Connor and Lucille had a way of making a phone call to me and encouraging me, and I knew I was being prayed for, period. And so that's a special thing, and so we have that ability because God's given us that everyone should be a teacher. This is God's will. Now, it doesn't mean that we're all going to be behind teaching with our Bibles open, but it means that we can help others, we can exhort others. Somebody said this right here. It says, when we listen to preaching and teaching, we should understand that we do not know what we are hearing well enough until we can teach it to someone else, at least at a basic level. Wow. That's something else. Now, if you look at your handout, it says every believer should have a ministry of exhortation and admonition. Verse 13 in our text says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, if we are immature as a child of God, if we haven't grown in our faith, then we can't do that. And instead of being in place of a teacher, we got to spend time learning how to chew our meat. We got to spend time learning how to take that tough meat and slowly get it into our teeth and chewing it up. I want to read you some verses. These are listed in your handout, but the first one, I think they're listed. Did I leave these out? Oh, my goodness gracious. Romans 15, verse 14, listen to this. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Oh, that tells me we have it. Why do we have it? Because God's Spirit will give it to us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Pretty clear, isn't it? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You get where I'm going here with this. It's important that we see God's house. It's important that we see the kingdom of God, being saved, living the Christian life, as so much more as just being a Christian and coming to church. It's about serving each other and teaching and loving each other and exhorting each other. And sometimes that's not a pleasant thing to do. Sometimes it involves a rebuke, a loving rebuke. And here again, this is even more important. You are able to do this in ways that even our pastor cannot, because you know your loved ones, you know your neighbor, you've known this person for 50 years, and sometimes in our life we go down paths where we shouldn't be going, and you have the distinct ability to walk over there to that person and put your arm around them and say, I love you, but you got to see this right here. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. But we have that exhortation, we have that ministry, and we have that ability because God gives it to us. So we have a ministry of exhortation and admonition, but we also have a ministry of sharing the gospel with others. Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, this is a big part of what we should be doing, and that's sharing the gospel with others. The believer should be mature enough. You and I should be mature enough as meat eaters in the Word of God to be able to handle the Word of God well enough so that we can share it with a lost man or a lost woman. So we are to encourage each other and exhort each other. We're to have a ministry of sharing the gospel with others. And number three, we should have a ministry of earnestly contending for the faith. Boy, this is a big one. It's a big one because in our culture, faith is going backwards. In our culture, God's word is not listened to very much. In our culture and in our government and at the very highest points in our land, culture and otherwise, there are many things at the forefront that are against the Word of God. This is hard. Where does that put me and you? Do we just say, well, I'm not skillful enough to really argue the point, so I'm just going to let that go and not try to figure out where I am in that. It's not my fault that people think that way. Well, if I read my Bible correctly, we have an obligation to contend for the faith. Jude verse 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. You know what that word means? It means fight for. It means defend. It means consider it so valuable and precious that you fight for it, that you stand up for the truth. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So, if I read that correctly, my job in this culture that we live in that's going nuts and has so many things that are becoming popular that's against God's word, well, I am not responsible for all these guys that think otherwise. But when God gives me opportunity, I want to be skillful enough in the Word of God. I want to have God's Holy Spirit working in my life enough that I will be able to help others and exhort others who might be having issues or questions about that thing and culture. So we should not only encourage others and exhort others, we should share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should contend for our faith. And I've got a point here, number four. Women have the very important ministry of teaching other women and children. Now this is very interesting to me. And I've seen this in my life over and over again. God put it within women to be able to effectively and wonderfully minister to women and children. Now that's not to say that some of my greatest Sunday school teachers in life have been men. That's not to say we can't do it. Stacy does a wonderful job at that here at this church. In fact, I tell him every time he preaches, or I try to if I can catch him, I learn more when Brother Stacy, well, I love it when he fills in for Brother Chris, because I just soak it in, you know, and that's because he looks at the student. He looks at who he's talking to, which is what we have to do when we exhort and when we share the gospel. And you have to talk to them as they would understand it. That's a great ministry to have. And so what God's given women is a special ministry, a special ability to minister and share with other women and with children. And that's a very, very important point. Now, there again, talking about culture, there's things in God's Word that's against culture today, even church and Christian culture. One of the verses they don't like, a lot of people don't like, is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Now, that's woo-wee. In today's culture, you get in trouble for saying that. What do you do with that, Dwayne? Well, what I do with it is God said it. I know our culture's gone the other way. I know great many seemingly wonderful female names are in ministry. That I can't speak to that. All I know is what's in God's Word, and I have the faith that God knew what He was talking about. Amen? I don't have to approve it. I don't have to explain it, but I know that it's true. And I want to read you some verses here about the ministry that women have. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Now, there's nobody in here, I believe, that would say that God hasn't given you a special ability as women, as nourishers, as people who can do things with families and with people that we men just cannot. He's given you that power. He's given you that ability. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also." And then he says later, in chapter 3, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." Okay, so where did it start? Started with his grandma. I have a prayer for our grandchild that she would see in Grandma Lolly a faith that she wants to emulate in her own life. Why? Do you want to grow spiritually? Well, you want to grow spiritually and you want to mature because God said it, that he wants it that way. That's his way. That's his way for John right here, or Peter, or whoever this is, sitting here in this chair. And I know you can't see him, but he's sitting right here. That's God's way of helping this man be exhorted and teach and be witnessed to and become a Christian and then grow in his faith. God's way is using me and you to help him. Not going to be done by a dream. It's not going to be done by a snapping of the finger or wiggling of the nose or whatever. But he's going to use me and you to help this guy right here in his faith. Isn't that great? That's what a wonderful opportunity we have. Now, if we don't do that, if we don't mature in our faith, if we're not going forward, where are we going? Backwards. Oh boy, aren't we going? I love, and I say this all the time, and I love Brother Chris's example of forward progression. In the Christian life, we must always be going forward in our Christian life. Two steps forward, one step forward, two steps forward, three steps forward, one step forward. Now, in that forward progression, sometimes we go backwards, don't we? Sometimes we step backward. But then, in the big picture, in the big scheme of things, we get that forward progression going. Somebody said the Christian life is like a boat on a river that is going upstream. As long as the believer is paddling upstream, he's making progress. But as soon as he stops paddling, he begins to go backwards with the flow. Boy, isn't that good? As long as you and I are in God's Word, and as long as His Spirit has got a close rein on our minds and our attitude and how we act in life, we're going forward. As long as we're being obedient to what the Spirit is telling us, as long as we're being obedient to what God helps us see in His Word, we're going forward in our Christian life. And when we don't do that, then we go backwards. Verse 14 in our text says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, we can read right over these three words, reason of use, but let's not read right over it. Let's stop there for just a minute. Even those who by reason of use, what's that mean? That means we're using God's Word. That means we are exercising what God tells us in His Word. That means that we are doing what God's Holy Spirit tells us to do in our life. And because of that, we're able to mature and our senses become exercised to discern between good and evil. That new believer right there, he's a baby. And he must feed on the milk, and that's good because when he feeds on the milk, it's going to help him grow, but he shouldn't be content to be there. He should have a forward progression in his life. And there's no better way to do that than for that believer to get into the Word of God and to become faithful to God's church. Another thing that is falling by the wayside in our church culture is church. You know, we've gone from two or three services a week to a great many. Maybe a majority, I don't know. I haven't seen any statistics. I'm not a statistics guy. I don't know if you've noticed that, but some people are. And I do know this though, just driving around in many churches, there's one service on the sign. So reason of use for those people is much more limited. Now think about this, tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you approach me. Just by nature of who we are and our abilities, reason of use. If you only go to church one time a week, and if that's the only thing you can do, that's great. That's where you need to do. That's you. I'm not talking about if there are limiting factors, because as we age and as we become seniors, that happens. Amen? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you have opportunity to be in God's house two or three times a week, and yet these churches that don't have but one service, their ability of reason of use is so much less than it is here. We can grow in our faith because we're making use of God's house. How many, you know, there's so many times you and I come to church and we're tired and our brains are beat up and we're mad about something, and we come in here and God's Holy Spirit, because our pastor or Brother David has prepared a message, and God uses that message. His Spirit touches our heart and our worn out, exhausted state of mind, and still helps us mature in our faith. Reason of use is being exercised. The usage of this facility, the usage of that podium and that microphone and the open Word of God coming into our ears in church. Reason of use, it's being used. Maturity comes from being used. Maturity happens when we allow ourselves to spend time in God's Word, by ourselves at home and in this church. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for helping us to see that